Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. Sure. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, founder and CEO of Sales in a New York Minute.
And this is Sell or Die, a podcast where you learn more about sales, even though you think you already know everything.
Only New Yorkers think they know everything.
Oh, yeah. Well, then if you're from New York, this will just be a review.
There you
but
go.
In the meantime, we have some amazing information about what's happening in the world of selling. And I don't care, even if you live in New York, you're going to learn something from this show because it features some artificial stuff and what's going to be happening in your world soon.
Or what's happening even now in your world that you may not be taking advantage of.
That's
correct. We have a very special guest coming up, Sandy Carter, and she's going to talk about what's now, what's new, and what's next.
If you have ever been on a phone call to a bank or to a travel company and some voice comes on and says, I can respond to full sentences, that's the beginning, my friends.
Yeah.
That is just the beginning. Wait till they can outthink you. I'm sorry, Hal. I'm afraid I can't do that. That's coming next.
No, when we had Richard Brody on, he was saying how we're going to be serving the robots.
Exactly.
That's what life's going to be.
And I'm not that good at cleaning floors or windows. I want to acknowledge our producer, the great Doug Brenson, who is sitting behind the glass. And Doug, can you tell people what they're supposed to do here?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing to do is to subscribe to our show on iTunes and rate us. That's how other great salespeople like yourself find this podcast. And you also want to like Jeffrey and Jennifer on Facebook, because when we do live episodes, that's where they go.
And the challenge that we have right now is not just to be current, but to be a little bit past current. You know what I mean?
If we're helping other people, which
exactly.
We are, we need to be ahead of where they are.
So what's up with you this week, Jenny?
Actually, I had a coaching student graduate from my coaching, and so now I have a coaching spot available.
Cool.
And I'm asking around to see if anyone's interested.
I'm interested.
Oh, yeah? You need some coaching, Jeffrey? I can help you out.
Okay, thank you. And for me, Doug and I tried an experiment this week where I actually did some filming in my bathroom, and we were talking.
You were clothed, right?
Fully
okay,
clothed.
Just checking.
Yeah, don't get your hopes up.
Okay.
But we're calling it On Reflection because we're doing it in a bathroom mirror. It's really cool, and it's going to be incredibly deep. I promise you, it will make you think about things the way you look at yourself and the way you do things and the way you take action. I'm really excited about it. Even though I'm really excited about it.
Sounds like way more exciting.
I know.
I'm
totally excited about it. So on the show today, we have a really special friend of mine. Jenny, can you what's the topic here?
The topic is what's now, what's new, what's next. And so Sandy Carter is going to come on and she's going to talk to you about what's going on, because she's really ahead of the curve. She knows what's out there. She's traveling the world and knows how salespeople can innovate. And she's going to give you some tips on exactly what you can do to implement some of these amazing new tools and strategies right now.
Please help me welcome my friend, the great Sandy Carter. So I met Sandy Carter at an event that was sponsored by IBM when she was IBM leader. And I wanted to find out who the IBM person was in charge. So I'm standing outside talking to a couple of people, and they said, well, the person in charge is Sandy Carter. I said, oh, great. How do I get there? She goes, you're not going to get to her. No one sits near her. Everyone's scared of her. I'm telling you, just stay away. And I walked down to the platform to do my sound check, and here's this woman, and no one's within three rows of her. And I looked over, I said, are you Sandy Carter? She goes, yeah, how did you know? I said, I just took a wild guess. And I found her to be charming, approachable, intelligent, knowledgeable, and I couldn't understand why other people were avoiding her. And I think it was because she was decisive, innovative, and willing to take risk. And oftentimes people in big companies are not that way. And her growth and her writing, you know, she wrote books while she was at IBM, literally. She was an evangelist for social media, literally, and put IBM social media on the map, social selling on the map, and has incredible stories to tell about how she succeeded in that world when other people just sort of were there to get a paycheck. So I'm very proud
of you. And I love that, because I sent you a note after that conference because I just loved working with you and loved what you had to say. And I still remember your subject title. I don't know if you ever remember. It said, "Holy Wow."
Yeah.
And I like, you know, I get thousands of emails a day. I'm opening this one. I'm opening and seeing what Jeffrey has to say.
Oh, cool. So we obviously, for the audience that's listening, we have a high mutual admiration society. What I want to figure out is how do we help the sales guy of today become the sales guy or woman of tomorrow? Because that's what everyone's looking for. What's now, what's new, what's next? What's now,
that's right.
What's new, what's next?
I like that. Now, new, and next. So, Jeffrey, one of the things that I've been seeing as I'm out there, you know, working and talking to lots of different companies, I'm seeing innovation really spring up. And in fact, I'm what I'm calling extreme innovation. And it's not innovation of the past. It's really something new because it is leveraging technology, it's leveraging teams and leveraging ecosystems in ways I have never seen before. And I want us to talk about that.
Okay.
But I wanted to frame why I think it's important that you even care that it's new. PricewaterhouseCoopers just did a piece of research that showed that in order for companies to grow, 93% of them depend on innovation. But even though they know they need to innovate, 81% of CEOs said, "We don't know how to innovate. Our teams are not equipped."
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, they're trying to get their teams, like their product development teams, to innovate when the people who are closest to the customer are the sales and marketing teams. So I want to spend a little bit of time today talking about why I think that it's really the job of sales to innovate, to help companies innovate. And I know companies like Salesforce, for instance, who are number two on the most innovative company list, leverage and integrate their sales team into their innovation cycles. And I want to talk today about how every salesperson can be in that situation. What do you think? Do you think innovation is the job of
sales? Oh, yeah, it's definitely the job of the company. But Salesforce is an anomaly in innovation because they have partners who write adjunct software for Salesforce that helps the subscriber to Salesforce use their software better. It's kind of they're not the 800-pound gorilla. They're the 900-pound gorilla. And the reason they become the 900-pound gorilla is because people looked at it and they said, "Oh, I can add this to it. Oh, I can add this to it." And Salesforce has done very little for itself. They've relied on these outside partners, these outside vendors, these outside software writers, you know, the plugins, as they call them, to innovate for Salesforce. They now have Dreamforce, this whole conference where people come from all over the world, and these adjunct salespeople, software people, come to sell their $20 a month, $30 a month, $50 a month plugin. And some of it's amazing. So it's not just the company. It's who can you get to help you?
Yes, you got it. I think that, and for me, that's one of the big tenets of extreme innovation. It is about that ecosystem that you build around you, which are all these partners. And I don't think you have to be a company to do that. I think you can do that all on your own. I want to talk about a quick example. This was one of the interesting people that I was talking to yesterday, Jill Riley. I don't know if you know her, Jeffrey, but she definitely knows you. She is really known in the social selling circles.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really figured out how to build an ecosystem around herself. So she is a seller. And she was telling me last night, one of the things that she does to build this ecosystem is she starts figuring out a company that she thinks fits with her values that she can sell into. And she starts following their tweets and following them on LinkedIn and looking at what they're posting on Facebook. And she became really obsessed with GE because she thought GE was such a great company. She really wanted to sell into that.
Mm-hmm.
And she has been doing that now for quite some time. And in fact, through just social, building that social ecosystem of people around GE, she ended up doing a speaking series on social selling for them and ended up in some sales enablement sessions with their CEO. So she was so successful building that ecosystem by herself. Do you see examples like that of people innovating with that ecosystem without even maybe a company?
Well, you can talk about LinkedIn just by itself. It has become the connector. And if someone accepts you as a connection, then you have the tacit right to be able to at least try to make a conversation with them. I have done it in a different way. I don't try to converse with my connections. Rather, I try to post things of value, messages of value, my weekly column, or post my tweets, and get those people to respond to me. So I may post a column to my 26,000 LinkedIn connections, and 1,000 people respond to it. Well, I know those 1,000 people are in my ecosystem. I know it. Otherwise, they wouldn't have. They went online and posted about it. They went online and said, "This is a great column." They went online and sent it to all of their connections. So I'm creating my own inbound ecosystem, and I think that's the real value of something like LinkedIn. I don't have to go push it. I can pull it.
Yeah. I agree. And this example here with Jo Rawley, she's used Facebook, and you can even see, that her connections go deep and wide just by leveraging that ecosystem the same way that you're talking as well. So I think one of the big changes in innovation, extreme innovation, is about building an ecosystem. I think in the past, Jeffrey, what you talked about was a nice to have. Some of the best people did that, but not everybody. I think in the future, for companies and people to innovate, they're going to have to leverage the ecosystem. Things mm-hmm. are just becoming so much more interconnected now that they're going to have to use that ecosystem to innovate. And there's so many examples, whether you're talking about Apple or Tesla, and beyond, that will show you that companies have to do this as well as people have to start doing this and networking and using that ecosystem even stronger.
What you're talking about is very important in terms of the connecting and selling. There's attraction, there's engaging, and then there's connecting. I can't connect with somebody in my world unless I've attracted them and engaged them, because somebody may come for a title and take a look at it and go, this is BS, I don't really want to deal with that. So they click off. Or someone may come to it and read it, and they go, well, it's nice, but it's not really what I wanted. Or someone may come to it, read it, like it, and then connect. So those are the three stages that you have to be able to create value in the ecosystem that you're trying to create. If General Electric hadn't found value in the stuff that Jill was trying to present to them, they would have clicked her off.
Yep.
So,
yeah, you're right.
So there was something there that said, oh, this, I perceive this as being valuable to me. So the one myth that I want to dispel straight away is the myth of content marketing. It is the wrong nomenclature. There has to be another word to it. It has to say valuable content marketing, readable content marketing, usable content marketing. There has to be something to it that says, this is my content, and others will perceive it as okay and then be willing to make a connection with me. Are we on the same line with that?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it also has to be something that they haven't heard. It shouldn't be something that
right.
is commonplace. I think you have to have a point of view. You've got to be innovative in your approach as you're talking to people and showcase that value. I completely agree.
Right. You were talking to me earlier in our conversation before we went online about the bot thing that you have done. I'm all ears.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So for extreme innovation, one of the first tips, we talked about now, new, and next. I want to make sure all the sellers on the phone do start thinking about how to build their ecosystem. And the second thing, Jeffrey, I do think is for them to start building the superpower of intelligence. Mm-hmm. And there are four technologies that I think they really need to start learning about and experimenting with now.
Okay.
Not waiting, but right now. So one is artificial intelligence and bots. And let's start with that one. So a bot, just in case you don't know, you're sitting there thinking, what is a bot? Let me go broader first. Artificial intelligence is software that learns. Just like your kids learn, you know, you teach them, you have to have a database of knowledge or person who has experience teaches a tool. Artificial intelligence software is taught by a team of people to actually be able to not only observe and act on facts, but learn from those situations. Bots are a smaller part of artificial intelligence, but they're the fastest growing area. They're built on messaging software. So think about WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger or Slack. They usually have a conversational interface. Today, it's mostly typing. But for instance, I was just in China and Japan. They're already using voice and visuals. And what the bot does is it simplifies a task. So for instance, you know, there's a toothbrush app that reminds you when to brush your teeth. There's a homework app that my two daughters use. And by the way, the next generation loves bots. And they and the homework bot reminds them when to do their homework, when their homework is due. So a bot is much more personable than an app. An app you download to do something, a bot you download for a personal experience with that brand.
So could you call it like a mother bot? Do your homework.
Mother bot is Yeah, absolutely. In fact, one of my favorite bots, if you haven't tried it, Jeffrey, is called Masuku. It's M-I-T-S-U-K-O, Masuku. She is the number one rated bot in 2016. And you can ask her anything. She's been trained for 12 years. So it's almost like your daughter, right? She's been being trained and brought up to have a conversation. In fact, Jeffrey, one guy talked to her for over 9 hours. Now, I can't even get my husband to talk to me for an hour. And somebody talked to this bot for 9 hours. So bots, I think, are really important for marketeers and sellers because they are personal. They represent the brand. And one of the ones I was talking about, in fact, I got some tips about you, Jeffrey, before this interview was called the Growth Bot. Now, the Growth Bot runs on Facebook, Messenger, and Slack. And you can just go in there and you know, click to add it to your message stream. You can ask the Growth Bot tons of questions. One example, give me tips on communicating with Gittimore, and you can see what it gave me. Let's Gittimore see. Is enthusiastic. Is this right? You know, is this right, Jeffrey?
Enthusiastic, decisive, prefers casual conversation, and feels uncomfortable about giving up control. That's pretty interesting. But let me tell you what, I give up control by letting the other person feel like they are in control, knowing that I still have control. It's pretty interesting. I'm more than willing to give up control because I know I can always take it back in one sentence. And the one sentence is not a specific set of words. It's simply asking a question. As soon as I ask someone a question, I have control back. So I can give it up.
Just like you did here.
Yeah, I can give it up whenever I want. And then I say, well, Sandy, what about? And then I have it back again. Advice for communicating with them or him. Stick to the big picture, appear over-aggressive, put them on the spot. Not bad. Project boldness and confidence, even at the risk of sounding impolite, and let them take the lead. Wow. This is pretty good, Sandy.
It's good, right?
Yep. It's very, very good. So.
Yeah, and I can tell you this. Well, let me tell you some other things that would be helpful for a seller using this growth bot. It can get you company information. It can show you top articles from a company that you're trying to sell to. You can ask it, what does this company do? Tell me how many Twitter followers the CEO has and who are the top ones, which relates back into our ecosystem discussion.
And you can can you do it verbally or do you have to type it in?
No, you have to type it in right now. But here soon, you'll be able, just like I said, in a couple other countries, I was just at South by Southwest, the bots were all actually verbal or visual. You could actually show it an emoji, which millennials love, or a picture, and it would respond to that. Most of the bots on Messenger and Slack today are you type them in.
Mm-hmm. WhatsApp has a couple. We use Slack, by the way, internally here, and it's become very, very popular. Our whole company communicates internally on Slack.
So if you wanted to try it, you can just send a message to Facebook Messenger at GrowthBot. Or if you're at Slack, like Jeffrey and his team are, you can just DM the GrowthBot user and just say hello to get started. Or if you're already in a discussion thread on Slack, you can just message hashtag GrowthBot as well. And I think, you know, this is just one example of what a seller can do to try to start using some of these bots to supplement the way that they get work done, right? Reaching out for information.
Totally. But I want to throw something at you that I think this audience needs to be aware of. I am 71 years old. Sandy, I know you are 39 years old. And it is amazing to me that there's an audience stream of millennials where the plurality of people that are in your age bracket or my age bracket are flustered and frustrated about how do I communicate with these people? And the answer is you communicate with people in their language. You communicate with people by their level of technology. And I will guarantee you with this technology that you're possessing right now and that you're sharing, every single millennial on the planet will be sitting at the edge of their seat listening and taking notes. Every single one of them. Or they're already using it and they're glad you are, and they'll still be willing to connect with you.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. In fact, let me go one step deeper. I'm on the chairman of the board for Girls in Tech, and we were doing a session on tech for 9-year-old girls. I'm talking 9-year-old mm-hmm. girls.
Know them well.
And we were asking them, hey, we can do this really cool thing with fashion tech. We can do this. What do you guys want to do today? Their number one thing, Jeffrey, they wanted to do a bot. They either wanted to do a news bot that, you know, acts like a smart newspaper. They wanted to do a social bot to connect with little groups of girls in their volleyball team these guys are already using this. So this is, you know, when you said now, new, and next, this is now. People are doing it now. This is going to be new. There are going to be so many new bots coming out. And this is next because these young kids, they love bots.
Amazing. And There are people who are in our age bracket that wouldn't know a bot from a bat. And to finish the sentence, they need a kick in the butt in order to be able to make that happen.
Yeah, so don't wait. I mean, regardless, you don't have to be a technologist to use the technology. You just have to be hungry and a continuous learner, which is something that I think differentiates the successful from the non-successful. Try bots out. If this one isn't the right one for you, there's the news bot where you can get news. There's Drift bot that you can integrate right into your website. There's so many of them out there. In fact, there's like a search engine for bots. It's called bots.co. Go out there and search and just try it. Let Jeffrey and I know which one you try. But just try it. See what works for you and see what doesn't.
And understand that it's new, and so you experiment with it to try to find out what's easy and comfortable with you. But let me try to be a little bit more direct to salespeople that are sitting out there with a clicker in their hand, their television remote, and a beer. This is your perfect time to bot. So if you trade your beer for a bot, you will kick yourself in the butt and begin to learn instead of simply watch and be your own robot. I think that there's an opportunity now for you to take some of your time and reinvest it in yourself in order to be able to become more socio and socioeconomic proficient to ultimately become a leader. And think about it, if you're in the sales team and your sales team is in the dark about this and you start to learn about it, you're the leader. You're the guy who brings the idea to the table that your boss thinks, oh my gosh, where'd you come up with this? And the answer is, dude, I'm just paying attention. And obviously they are not. But the leaders of tomorrow are the innovators of today, period.
Yeah, I completely agree. The other one that I'd like to recommend, Jeffrey, is around virtual reality. And don't think that virtual reality is just for games. In fact, virtual reality, I'm starting to see out here in Silicon Valley where I live being used by sellers to do the sales pitch. This is, you know, one example that I just heard was Protect Cargo. And their CEO, what they do is they sell this protective cushion for cargo containers, so it protects whatever goods you're shipping. Mm-hmm. Kind of a hard thing, really exciting in a sales presentation. And so the guy was saying he used to use PowerPoints, which I know you hate, and fabric swatches to demonstrate it. What does he do now? Well, he buys these $5 Google glasses, which are the cardboard VR headset, mm-hmm. $5.
Mm-hmm.
And when he does a presentation, he does it using VR. So everyone in the audience feels like they're standing inside of a shipping container.
Cool. And that's so cool.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah.
And so his sales have gone up exponentially because now he doesn't have to explain it with words. People can experience it.
Yeah. VR in a sales pitch is exciting because you can actually get the customer to see it.
Yeah.
You know, my sales philosophy is first paint the picture, then show the picture. And
yes, I thought you would love that.
With VR, you can show it. Like I have three houses. The real estate guy sits with you and says, I have three houses. Let's go take a look at them. Okay. Here, put these on. That's all you need.
Yeah.
You can put them in the living room.
There you go. There you go. And so I think the big thing here is, you know, you and I can't go over all the new things that are happening to help sellers innovate in the way that they sell. But I'm hoping that these give you some interesting ideas and say, wow, there's so much going out there. I shouldn't be afraid of technology. I should embrace it. I should try a chatbot. I should experiment with VR. I might want to try IoT and see how it impacts my sales, right? Mm-hmm. Because to me, I led a major sales team. You know, we're always trying to figure out how to deliver more value to the customer. One of my quotes in the book is that innovation is about empathy. When you empathize with the client, you really understand their needs. That's when you truly innovate. And mm-hmm. I think that's what these types of tools and techniques allow you to do.
They help you gain insight, that's for sure, Sandy. And then how you use that insight is going to determine the outcome. Like you can have all the data you need. You can have all the information that you need about me or about you or about a company or about a prospect. If you don't use it properly, you'll still lose.
Yeah, and that's what I think, you know, if we're going to close this out, the last element of superpower is about super speed. And I think the way you get speed is through, you know, mentoring and mastery. And I loved your quote, Jeffrey, where you say, after you listen to a strategy or a sales technique, try to use it within the next hour.
Mm-hmm.
Listen followed by doing leads to mastery. And that's really true here. You know, don't just go out and read more about bots. You know, go ahead and download the growth bot. Play with it.
No, build your own bot.
Build your own bot. There you go.
I think that's probably the best way of looking at it, Sandy. The reality of it is that people either need to take action or let it pass them by, like they've done all the other stuff. You know, I still ask my audiences, how many of you have never tweeted? And I'm talking about very sophisticated business people from Fortune 500 companies, and 75% raise their hand.
Oh, wow.
That's an actual survey. As you know, I use the number 74% for everything, but this is an actual, I'm sitting in front of hundreds of people in a given audience, sometimes thousands of people in a given audience, and everyone's raising their hand. I said, have you heard? I said, somebody, I like them or hate them, somebody just got elected president of the United States by using Twitter. You might want to try it out.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the inhibitor is that a lot of people are just afraid of tech. And I think tech is empowering, even if you don't have a tech background. You need to go out and try it out.
People are definitely intimidated by it. And in order to tweet, you have to have followers. So it's which comes first, the chicken or the egg, which comes first, the tweet or the followers. And what happens first is the followers. There's a strategy for doing it, but that's for another talk, another time. But if you're not willing to get involved in some form of business social selling, social media, you're a fool. and you're letting the new world pass you by. And you can go out and hail a taxi cab, or you can pick up your iPhone and call an Uber. But you can't call a taxi cab on an iPhone. Just keep that in mind.
Okay, well, I'm going to bring us back to where we started. Now, new, and next. One of the things that we would love to have you also try out is surveys and quizzes. You know, everybody loves this. It helps people get engaged.
Mm-hmm.
This particular one is by a very innovative company called Dialogger. And, you know, Jeffrey, you just sent out your newsletter. We had 81% engagement. Very simple, very easy to do. I'd love for everyone listening to try it. It's at bit.ly/powers3. So if you're listening, bit.ly/powers3, the number three. Try out this little quiz. It was so simple for me to do with Gary and the team. It gives me insight into who is listening to our broadcast, who's really interested, helps us on leads. And then you can leverage it and learn it too. It's, again, another way for you to be an extreme innovator in sales.
I think,
so Jeffrey.
Sandy, you've given some very valuable information that may be intimidating to others. What I would recommend if you're listening to this podcast, either on our station or your station, on our landing or your landing, on our Apple iTunes store or your Apple iTunes store or your Facebook or my Facebook, listen again and again, and you'll begin to get the message in a way that becomes more clear. When you hear a song once, you tap your foot. After you hear it five times, you can sing along. After the 10th time, you can sing it on your own. And you need to be able to sing what's new and what's next on your own, or you will fall victim to having to take the same bus with the same people every day. And that's not what you want to do. What you want to do is be next.
Wow, what an amazing interview.
I know. The interesting thing about Sandy Carter is she has been an innovator for 10 years. She basically started the social selling movement and the social media movement at IBM and was in charge of the entire process, had about 19,000 followers in the company, and was a global leader in anything having to do with social media. Wrote a few books on it. IBM kept all the money. But now that she's on her own, you know, she left IBM and went out to Silicon Valley and started to talk to everybody who was new and next. And what she knows about artificial intelligence will lead the way again.
So one of the tools she mentioned, bots, and she said that the bot of 2016, the top bot, which, you know, maybe you or me or the our listeners, bots are something new. They're not something we interact with and use on a daily basis. But she said they've been working on that bot for the past 12 years.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's the evolution of the widget.
Oh yeah,
and only it's way more powerful and way more perceptive than the widget. So you have to look at it from a standpoint of, hey, do you want to do what's next? I can tell you this: the red book will have bots. It'll be the little red bot, of course. But I think that
we should trademark that right now.
Oh
Jeffrey.
Yeah. But the real challenge is, how do you use it to engage, and how do you use it to bring a qualified customer, and how do you use it to make a sale? And luckily, there's not many people really doing it right now, so that if you're listening to this, you could actually be first in your industry, or you could certainly be a major player in your industry. But you have to – there's two words you have to deal with here. Take action.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do something for yourself in order to make yourself better. You can't go home and watch TV. You can't drink beer anymore at night. You have to take out your laptop, go online, experiment, use, figure it out for yourself, talk to five experts, pay a few fees, and go.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I can't say enough for the process. I can tell you we're knee deep in it, and we're going to get a little deeper. We're going to go all the way up to our thighs.
Well, I want to try to use virtual reality. I mean, I think the VR stuff is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned in the interview, using VR to show for a real estate agent, which is funny because it's exactly what I thought at first. But for a real estate agent to actually show their listings in the VR, right? Okay, so you're looking for a four-bedroom house, you want a yard, you want a fence, you want it. Here are the four that come to mind. Check them out. Just put on these glasses.
Yeah, true. I mean, just look at what Google Maps does. If you're going to take an Airbnb someplace, you can go on Google Maps, see what's in the entire neighborhood, look at all the stores, all the houses, and it was done like 3 months ago.
Yeah. But if you're buying anything, if you're selling anything, if you're selling a boat or you know, there's five different boats that the consumer's trying to choose from, or you're selling a timeshare or anything, really.
It's coming faster than most people can catch up with, but you have to stay involved or you will definitely be passed by.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
I already know someone who's using it for their business in real estate in New York, and it's amazing.
No, it works.
Exactly.
It's not just amazing. It works.
Yeah.
And so the challenge that you have right now is, okay, if you're listening to this podcast, how are you going to take advantage of it? What are you going to do that's new? What are you going to do that's now? What are you going to do that's next in order to be able to be the leader in your field?
It seems like what's next is now. And we don't even know what's next because we're so on the cusp.
That's why they keep going up one number. It's the iPhone 6, the iPhone 7, the iPhone 8, the evolution.
I don't know. The 8's going to be pretty cool.
I know.
I'm sold.
Me too. I'm going to buy two of them.
Okay. One for you, one for me?
Yep.
Okay, just checking.
I will tell you that this is Sell or Die. This is a podcast that has brought two salespeople, four salespeople, about salespeople. You should drink what we're drinking. Death Wish Coffee. It's the strongest coffee in the world.
Death Wish Coffee is unbelievable.
You should get your morning dose of Owler, which is what we do in the morning, where you can get news in advance of your competitor. And you should tune back in, subscribe, tune back in, because we have some amazing guests coming up for you. And I'm not going to blow the cover and talk about who they are yet, but I can promise you this, if you return to the next episode of Sell or Die, you're going to be blown away, baby.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Jeffrey, I've been getting a bunch of emails and messages asking when our next show is going to come out. And so all you need to do to get our next show is subscribe. Go onto iTunes or Stitcher or your favorite podcast app. Give us a 5-star review, subscribe, and go on our Facebooks and follow both of us, because we also post sometimes live videos of the show and when we're going to be airing it.
So we're going to thank Doug Branson,
our producer,
and Waver, head Waver from behind the glass. And we are going to see you.
And our technical director,
Chris Hill. I can't see Chris. He's hiding behind the computer on
the next
floor.
He's working on his next bot. He's exactly. Creating a bot.
And my name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm a sales guy. And this is my partner,
Chen Gluckow.
And we're inviting you to go out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.